from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Yeah, Steph and I are tight. Thank you. I always like it when he almost calls me Lillard. I'm like, salary should go up if the last name's Lillard. I know that.
No doubt.
We're going to have this for you in somewhat short order, in a little bit. C.J. McCollum just said something real interesting about where he thinks Paul George should play basketball next year. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And we'll get to that here coming up. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. Glad you're with us. We're talking Warrior future. The Ayuk thing is out there. The Giants stuff is out there. Nick Ahmed is going to join us here in just about 90 minutes or so. Thought maybe we could roll through this a little bit. Real interesting stuff on the Morning Roast with Bobby Marks, Mr. King of Capology in the NBA. And really all the key things, the questions we're asking, the things we're wondering about right now, they covered it all. So here's Bobby on where Clay could go, how long he could go there, and how much he would get to go there.
He's a two-year guy. I'm on a two-year contract. I think you can take the hardline stance if you're Golden State and say we're not bidding against anybody or we're not competing against anyone. Or you can take the approach that some teams have done in the past where they're saying, you know, we know that there's a limited market out there, but we still think this player has value and we still want to reward that player. So I think, and that's why I said, like, you have to be careful if you're Golden State here, because who's to say that Klay Thompson goes sign somewhere for $13 million? I wouldn't throw that out the window there. So listen, I think the best for him to probably maximize, if he's looking for another a big contract, it is probably in Golden State. It is probably somewhere between maybe $20 and $25 million. It's just a matter of if that's the direction he wants to go.
Okay, so Bobby has also, I think, reflected the market by changing his number from saying his skill set is now worth 30 in the NBA. He's now moved it down to 20 or 25. And somewhere in there, sounds like he's suggesting that at some point in July, this whole thing could come full circle and end up right about where it was before the year started, which is, if the reports were true, a two-year, $48 million offer. Could we just circle back and end up right there again with Clay back with the Warriors?
You could, and that would have to, you know, be at the tail end of a long sequence of non-moves for Clay Thompson, and it just depends on what the market actually does and what the Warriors do. I think if the Warriors go out there and they try to get, and if they maybe get Paul George, or if they land a big boy, well, then Clay's number is going to go way, way down. And it's interesting hearing Bobby Marks on the Morning Roast this morning, because I'm flashing back to when he came on our show, and I don't know if you remember where it was, and I just looked it up. It was February 22nd of this year, and I'm looking at an aggregation. It was an aggregation sensation.
I bet it was.
Based on our show.
Cha-ching!
From Yahoo Sports, Bobby Marks predicts a Jalen McDaniels-type deal for Klay Thompson. In a recent appearance on the Willard and Dibbs Show, ESPN's Bobby Marks shared his thoughts in the region of a $30 million per year deal. And, you know, he said probably what you're looking at is Jalen McDaniels, who got 5 and 131, which is 30, you know, it's about 30 million. It's about 28 million a year for that kind of a contract. And so he said, you're probably looking at 30 million a year. And now he comes out this morning, and I'm not saying that he's backpedaling. He's reflecting what the market is.
The market's different than what we thought it was going to be.
Right.
No,
and that's 4 months ago. So in the 4 months from when Clay, back in February, when Bobby thought that 30 million was going to be the neighborhood, and now we're in the neighborhood of 20 million, and Clay was offered 24 million reportedly 4 months before we even had Bobby Marks on. So you go from 24 up to 30, down to 20. My God, Clay.
Well, and did you hear
what a roller coaster.
Did you hear what Bobby said at the very beginning, which is that the Warriors refuse to bid against themselves?
Right.
And I really think, again, I'm just guessing here, but it feels to me like here's the arc of how this all went. 2 years, 48 at the beginning of the year, he says no. Then we go through the year. He's frustrated most of the time. He's coming off the bench for parts of the time. He's meeting with Steve Kerr on a biweekly basis behind closed doors, right? We know how the season goes, 0 for 10, off we go into the sunset. We get to this point where it's time to talk, and the Warriors are almost encouraging Clay. Like, Clay, you don't like what we're offering you? Well, go see what else is out there. And I think the Warriors are keenly aware that they're sitting there with a smoking jacket on being like, he's going to come back. He's going to come back because he's not going to find out there what he thinks he's going to find out there. But Clay's mad. Damn it. I need some more respect. There's going to be a statue of me one day out there, and I can't believe you guys are doing me like this. And you gave Draymond Green 4 years, and how could you do this? I'm going to unfollow you on Instagram. And the Warriors are like, he'll be back. And he might not be back, but their point is, we're betting you're not going to go out there and do anything better than 2 years and 48. And they're probably right.
And so that's why they're not bidding against themselves.
And here's Bobby Marks going, it probably 2 years and 48. And if I heard him correctly, I think he just said Golden State might be one of the only places he could even get that. I don't even know if he's nobody else is going to put that kind of cash in front of Klay Thompson, because everyone's terrified of the second apron. It's a down market, and nobody's out there looking to give 3 years to people who are approaching 35. So that's where we sit. And the more I think about this, we kind of set that fun over under yesterday with our summit. Monday, July 8th, go to 957thegame.com and register for your free spot right now and see us in Fremont. We can't wait to see you there. That over-under of, is Clay's situation done by July 8th? I vote no.
You're taking the over.
I'm taking the over.
The over on July 8th at 5:57 p.m. when you ask Grandy, hey, Grandy, what do you got? And he says, oh, I'm going to play the summit back. And we say, oh, that's right, because the summit crushed from Fremont Bank. And you shoot your shot, and that's all we got. That's where the over-under sits. Monday, July 8th, at shoot your shot o'clock.
I put my $5 chip on the over.
I think that's the favorite. I agree.
I put it on the over.
Well, even if, and this is, I guess, not when it's signed and sealed, but when it's announced, because Shams could come out with it, or it could be a Woj bomb before that, and it may not be signed pending a physical.
Well, no, I don't. I won't play that semantics game.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that we do the summit and no tweet has been sent, no report,
no Shams wow.
I mean,
no Woj bomb.
It doesn't count if there's a. I like Shams wow. That's funny.
Well, it used to be Shams wow, but now we know it's Shams. Although if he, you know. Whatever.
No, Grandy.
Thank you. We're still going to do I Yuck.
Yeah.
I think we can still do Shams.
Fair point. Grandy and director of sports, Lucas, do either of you even know what ShamWow is? Do you know what that is?
Yes,
okay.
Of course.
I don't know.
You do. Lucas has
Lucas
no idea.
Knows what ShamWow is.
You know what ShamWow is?
Rest in peace to the legend.
Okay. All right.
You're just guessing.
Sometimes I know.
Whoever that guy's name was, he was great.
You do strike me as an up in the middle of the night type of a guy.
His name was 100%. Shams Wowania. Shams Wow is what his name.
Let's move on.
That would have been the ultimate. Anyway,
whatever. Yeah. Vince Offer is his name. And yes, rest in. I better Google it.
Yeah, you do. Oh. Why are you stopping to Google now? You've never done it before. Yeah. You just kill people on the radio all the time.
I know. Still with us.
Anyway, I'm saying there isn't even a tweet yet by July 8th, and a tweet of Shams being like, Clay has drawn interest from Orlando. That doesn't
count.
That's a
two for your Shams.
That does.
You tried.
Yeah. Podminski used to be a Clay teammate. No, none of that counts. It has to be a Clay is in agreement with.
Yes, agreed.
And I said
Podziemski.
Podziemski. Thank you, Shams.
And you're taking the over. I think the over is the safe bet. I would put the over at minus 160. The under is probably plus 140.
What if it breaks during the summit?
It better. That would be awesome.
Incredible. That'd be incredible. Okay.
And the incredible part would be who would break it? Because, you know, you and Shasky and Bonte are all probably the most active on social media in that moment. Maybe Guru next.
Not in
Steiny
a summit.
And I are completely.
I turn it off in a summit. There's too much going on. I can't be looking at the computer. Grandy's in my ear. He'll tell me if something breaks.
Grandy's amazing. Yeah. And so is Lucas, director of sports.
I actually have my own game with Grandy. He doesn't even know that I play this. I will
see. Who gets it first?
Oh, my God. I will see when I see breaking news. I will see it. And if that tweet has like a 12S next to it, which means it was tweeted 12 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I'll hit my talk back and be like, Grandy, check Twitter. He's like, dude, I saw it 7 seconds ago. You've got that thing. You embedded it in your brain somehow.
It's called turning tweet notifications on from all the news breakers.
Yeah,
so your phone buzzes every single second of the entire day, but you get all the news first.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
I'm not into it either.
That phone's already doing enough. I'm doing enough to hold all the texts off from you guys, especially Dibs, who come in green, for crying out loud. I don't want more of this stuff.
And it really helps you. You don't get got by the fake accounts.
Yeah, that's
because
a good
point.
You
only get
point.
Notifications from the official accounts.
That's a great point.
That's a good point,
Randy. I actually was talking yesterday to our boss, Matt Nahegan, and the director of sports, Lucas Alexander. Well, we had a conference call. They called me.
Okay.
I didn't call them. They called me.
Liar.
And we talked about when you're off. And we talked about a game plan. And I said, you know what? What's really comforting to me, because I'm going to be in your chair, and when I'm in your chair especially, there's a lot going on. It's easy to be over here slapping it around, drinking my water,
dude,
thinking about jokes. And I'm still happy about my two birds yesterday with Sue and Larry. But I was like, you know what's comforting is to have Grandy in that spot, because the dude is like constantly on it. And I said, you and Grandy both are like, anything that breaks, you're on it. I don't have to be on that, and I don't want to be on that.
One of my favorite things, and we'll hit some more Bobby
Please.
In just a second, but one of my favorite things is when Grandy hits the breaking news sounder, and the look on your face.
I got no idea. But
I love it. Yeah, the listeners, Dibs never has any clue what we're about to say. He's just like, he's like one of you. He's like, oh boy, I can't wait. I wonder what they're going to tell me.
And usually it's awesome. Last week was like, oh.
No, that was the worst breaking news sounder of all time.
And I looked at your face, and I was like, I mean, your face said that it wasn't something as pedestrian as, okay, Clay, he's a Magics.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I know he can't be yet, but your face told me that it was something more than just like your garden variety. Oh, you know, it looks like Keaton Wins got scratched. Sorry, Keaton. No. I didn't mean to use
that. And for
you
those
like that,
of you who don't know, Willie Mays passing away is what
dude,
it is.
Anyway, sorry.
Bobby Marks
Back to
on
Bobby.
The perception of Clay around the league.
I think it's just the ability to kind of accept the role where he is at this stage in his career. I mean, if the ability to accept the role, if maybe it changes during the course of the year, whether if he struggles or maybe that team, you know, I mean, I think he would be perfect in Oklahoma City, you know, but that's at, you know, probably 20 to 25 minutes a game. So I think that's the biggest thing is that when teams meet with him or have the opportunity to meet with him at the end of the week, it's about kind of accepting the role at this stage of his career.
Okay, so again, that's another important point. When we talk about Clay and there's money and there's respect, there's also role. And I think that's an interesting one, because I think haven't we been playing with the concept for the last 6 months that the Warriors want Clay Thompson to basically be the sixth man? But boy, I bet there's some other teams out there that'll do $30 million a year and just put him there in the two or the three and let him sit out there in the corner and shoot threes. Maybe not. Maybe not. Again, we have gone with the unfollowing of Instagram. I think there's been a premise for better than a week now. We're assuming Clay's going to go. Now flash to Monty Poole joining our show yesterday and saying, I think it's a 52% chance that Clay stays. and the market is dry and nobody wants Clay as a starter and keep building this all up, what does it mean right now? Not much, but I don't think it's a stretch to think about that free agency, just Clay's, taking a couple of weeks into July and the real possibility that he doesn't find what he's looking for out there. And does that bring him back to Golden State, pending what the Warriors do in the meantime? I think it's a real possibility.
For sure, and I do think that that's where your over-under on July 8th, the summit at Fremont Bank, which is 13 days from now, that becomes more of an over, because if the team is willing to wait, and if Clay's market is colder than he wants it to be, well, then you're going to have to wait. Maybe past July 8th, and maybe you get to a point where, you know, teams are finally sorting through what they really want to do, and he's nobody's plan A, and he's nobody's plan B, and he's a bunch of teams' plan C, and then you get to plan Cville, which is probably after July 8th, and teams are like, well, geez, you know, we're New York, and we missed out on Paul George, and we're the Warriors, and we missed out on KD and Paul George, and we're OKC, or we're Orlando, or whatever other team you want to think is out there, if it's OKC, or if it's San Antonio, or if it's Houston, or all these other teams that think that they might want a piece of Klay Thompson, but they want to do it at a bargain. Well, you get to July 8th, 9th, or 10th, then maybe the price goes down.
Bobby Marks on the roast earlier today, and we know there is reported interest from the Warriors in Paul George. Okay, so how would that work if the Warriors were to acquire him?
I don't see it. It's hard for me to see a scenario of going trade-wise when you have Clay still on your roster. I think that presents, you know, somewhat of a challenge here. But let's just say that if the trade presented itself at the end of the week and you were able to get a Paul George type player, you know, Paul George is making, you know, $48-49 million. You've got to get closer to around $40 million in salary. So you're certainly looking at Wiggins. You're certainly looking at maybe Payton. You're certainly probably looking at probably at least one of your young guys, whether it be Moody and Kuminga. I think if you're the Clippers, you would certainly want Kuminga. So it's just about getting up to that $40 million number.
Okay, so he did not offer clarity in what I know my mind was waiting to hear. I wonder if some of you are the same. Is one of these guys gettable without giving up Kuminga? And he sort of was like, you know, one of the young guys, the Clippers would want Kuminga. Okay.
But, okay, yeah.
But would they get him? And one thing that I'm real focused on, and it's kind of part of what we talked about yesterday with the Kevin Durant and the Suns thing, we see names like Kevin Durant and Paul George, and I think the fallback position is, oh, wow, there's going to be a lot of competition for that guy, and they're going to demand the world. Why would any of those teams do that if they weren't getting Kuminga back? I think we overstate the position of the team that's letting the star player go or looking to trade him. They're not in a power spot. They're not in a spot to be making demands for budding 22-year-old NBA starters. I just, like the Clippers, like the Paul George trade idea is because the two sides can't come to an agreement. They don't want to keep him at the number that he wants. It's public as all hell. The whole world, if he opts into that final year, the whole world knows there's a trade coming. All of these things rip your value. All of them do. And so the Clippers would be in a spot where they sort of like kind of have to get rid of Paul George so that they can continue to operate. That's not the position where someone can walk in and demand the top young player on another team's roster, I don't think.
Yes, but the demand goes up based on how many teams want to rip that player from you. So, and I would imagine there are more than one team that want Paul George.
Sure.
In this scenario where, you know, it's going to be a sign and trade and you have a chance to get Paul George, I think because there are multiple teams that want that player, and I would imagine there are a number of teams that want Paul George, especially at that number. And I do know that Paul George wants a four-year deal on top of that, so that complicates the move a little bit, and it also complicates, you know, to your point, what you're going to have to give the Clippers, because the Clippers know that Paul George wants another deal. So if you want to acquire Paul George, you're going to have to probably give him a 3-year deal on top of the 1 year that he's going to opt into. And that's a lot of money if you're the Warriors and you're trying to stay out of that second apron. So it does mitigate a little bit what you have to give back. But also, if there are multiple teams, and I would bet that there are 6 or 8 teams that want Paul George and can get Paul George, that drives the price up.
Now, what about Kuminga? Because there's always that discussion. We even talked to Monty Poole about it yesterday. We know the Warriors badly do not want to trade him, but nobody has been willing to come out and firmly say that's off the table. That's a non-starter. No, the door is always open. So the guys asked Bobby Marks, what is Kuminga's trade value across the league right now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have to the day before the start of the regular season. So you're looking at October 21st, he'll be restricted. So I think you have to have a mindset that if Kuminga puts together another good year and takes another step, it's probably going to cost you probably more than $30 million a year. I think that's probably realistic what the market will be. The cap will increase for next year and the year after. So as the cap increases, so do salaries here. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly if, you know, Paul George ever became available and there's no way for him to get to a team like the Warriors without a trade, then he would be the first player that you would be looking for.
Okay. So, again, like this is probably the rub right now, I would argue, with all of these doors the Warriors are supposedly knocking on. At least if I were there, that's one thing I would be focused on. It's not just who can we get. I would love to say who can we get without giving up Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not saying Kuminga's 1,000% off the table, but I would certainly prefer to keep him. And so I wonder if those are the sort of pre-July conversations that are happening where the Warriors might be like putting out feelers and offers that don't include Kuminga. Other teams are wanting to include Kuminga. And then you play the power and leverage game as you get closer to July 1st and kind of see where everything stands. And the hope is that the price comes down.
Yeah, the price could come down. It all depends on who else would want Paul George and what are the teams are willing to offer. And I do think that if I'm the Clippers and I'm thinking about making a trade with the Warriors in particular, a team that is not only in my conference but in my division, and it's a team that I don't necessarily want to help, I want to do everything I can. If I'm going to give you my best player or my second best player, whatever you think Paul George is, I want to make sure that I tax you. Otherwise, I might take a little bit less from someone else to get him out of the conference. There's that competitive part for me,
sure,
as opposed to you're going to give Paul George to the Warriors and not get Kuminga.
Remember, though,
that's a non-starter for me.
This is the difference to me in a Kevin Durant conversation versus a Paul George conversation. Paul can have more control over where he gets traded because he can tell that other team that's acquiring him, I'm not signing a new deal with you.
Yep.
Right? And then there's no point. There's no point in even doing this. Kevin's still got 2 fully guaranteed years on his deal, so he's not playing basketball anymore if he doesn't report to an acquiring team. Paul George has all kinds of leverage and power because he can opt in, he can opt out, he could end up, he can choose free agency. He's got all kinds of different ways he can go. And only 1 year left on his deal, even if he does opt in. So no team's going to acquire him unless they feel confident that Paul George is going to stay a while.
You would figure. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to do Kuminga and picks for a Paul George rental,
right?
If you're the Warriors,
well,
so.
I don't think Paul George is going to. Right, he's not going to do a rental like that.
Yeah, he wants a deal.
Yeah,
and the word is he wants a 4-year deal, which would mean 3 years on top of him, you know, refusing his player option, or you know, 3 years on top of the player option, and it's $48.8 million. So, are the Warriors going to want to be a team that signs up for that? Because that's going to put you in that second apron neighborhood going forward, and that's something that they've been trying to avoid.
2 things you've absolutely got to hear. Number one is what Austin Rivers and CJ McCollum just said earlier today about Paul George and where he'd be looking to go. That's number one. The other thing you need to hear is how Mike Dunleavy answered the question yesterday about his young players, right next to how he answered the same question about Jordan Poole a year ago. We'll put those side by side, and then you can kind of do the rest. So All of that's coming up next. Your phone calls are welcome at 888-957-9570. Nick Ahmed of the Giants in an hour. This is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors offseason, the ramp up is here. Nick Ahmed joins us in 1 hour. Hit his first home run as a Giant last night.
Big. Absolutely huge. Can I get an Ahmed?
Well, I love that.
I do too.
And then also, you do love it more than everyone else, but I love it. I do.
It's deserving of more love than I got, but I get it.
It's good.
I have an Android. We have a show thread, and every time that my texts come in, there's a certain amount of iPhone hatred, and I get that.
No, it's not that.
And also,
it has nothing to do with your phone.
Our technical director is kind of Captain Negatron about everything, so no matter what you do, it's always going to be downgraded a little bit.
He's really not. He's just that with you. It's just you.
And I get that. And it's envy is what it is. Because
it's not with anybody else.
He looks at me as a guy who's made it so far and he's done so much, but he looks at me like, this guy's got no talent.
I mean,
how the hell has he gotten further than me? I'm Mark Grandy. You better recognize.
Well, you're twice his age is the answer.
I see how you got that gig, dude.
Almost.
Grandy, when you're what are you, 55?
He's already 28.
Are you 55?
Yeah, 55.
You're 56?
Not quite.
You're getting there.
Soon.
All right. Would you take Dib's career by the time you're 55? If I offered it to you right now?
It's a dangerous game.
Look! look.
I wasn't listening. I don't know what you're asking me.
Such a liar. Such a liar.
That was an amazing Blake stare with a smile.
If the answer is no, let's play this out. Because when I was 28, I was in a very similar situation where he is. On air-ish.
Hey, you got to get down, Gary!
Yeah, that came a little bit later, but that's right about that time. Oh, yeah, fabulous, Gary.
Oh, God.
So, between then and now, I've been able to raise not one, but two families and be a multiple-time homeowner in the Bay Area.
Well, that's part of it, too, Grandy. You have to take the divorce, you have to all of it. Yeah.
All you have to take is a 25-year on-air career. That's all.
Do you not like real estate, Grandy?
I mean,
seriously, dude.
Shout out renters.
Owns a house in Moraga. Yeah.
Wow, we don't usually give out the zip code. Next thing you give out
what's
the
address?
Exactly.
What's the address? Social security number? Pretty nice. Anyway.
Pretty nice.
All right, now that the uncomfortable
the answer from Grandy is yes, he would take it.
I've never seen you so silent in my life.
Right?
Look at you. He's just laughing.
It's funny because you remember being 28.
Captain Negatron, look at him. He can't stop smiling.
Because we're talking about him.
Right.
We're not talking about my material, which he hates on because it's envy. And if you think about when you were 28, and if you would have thought about like 28, between 28 and now 49, you probably would have thought at 28 that you were going to do bigger things than you've done, because that's what you do when you're 28.
Mm.
You think about, like, when you were 28, you were probably in Boise.
No, God, I was way younger than that when I was in Boise. Boise was, I wasn't even 25 yet. Okay. I was 23 and 24.
So when you were a young whippersnapper like this kid with the rosy red cheeks watching soccer all day, you're thinking, like, big things. And then you get to be... whatever, I'm not going to put you in this conversation because I'll talk about myself, but 55, I'm damn proud of what I've done.
You should be.
The 28-year-old me thought that I would have done...
What do you thought you were going to do what?
Bob Costas.
Okay.
Because that's what you do when you're 28. When I was 28, I thought that I was going to do like Mike Tirico, Bob Costas... Joe Buck, that was the trajectory that I saw myself.
I'm not going to, we all have big dreams,
yes.
But I'm not lying when I say the vision was always just to get back home and man the airwaves of San Francisco. Like, there were times where that meant, like, I wanted to be, like, the voice of one of the teams.
Right.
And that sort of evolved, not that that's even off the table, on the table, whatever, as we sit here today. Like, who knows what'll happen over the next 20 years as we sit here and talk about not knowing what the hell the future holds.
Exactly.
I got no idea where I'm going to end up, but I truly do feel like I'm lucky enough to be living the dream. I really do.
Oh, I'm with you.
I really do.
I'm totally with you. Absolutely living the dream, and I didn't know that this was going to be the dream that I'd be living, because when I was Mark Grandy o'clock, when I was his age, my eyes were bigger than my stomach. I'll just say that. So if Mark Grandy looks at what I've done and wants to pass on that, I totally get it, and I don't fault him for that. Because he's 28.
Yep. You're going to do great, Grandy. Don't worry about a thing.
We've got an awesome soccer game going on right now, guys. Canada-Peru locked in a deadlock in Copa America.
He didn't hear a word we said. All right, so check this out.
He heard every syllable.
We promise this. This is from NBA Today on ESPN. Now, there are four people on the panel, but the two male voices that you hear are NBA players Austin Rivers and CJ McCollum. And they get into a conversation about Paul George, and listen to where it goes when Rivers puts McCollum on the spot and asks him about Paul George.
Can I ask you something? If it's winning, if it's about winning, it would be where? Paul George wakes up today and goes, I'm making this decision, not lifestyle, not money. I just want to win next year. I want to win a ring.
Go CJ, and then I'll give you my thought.
To the Bay.
Really? Oh, really? I was going to say Philadelphia.
Interesting. I was going to say Philadelphia too. That's really fascinating because I do think when you...
But he's saying, he's like, I'm in the West, so no, that's not going to...
First of all...
The West is so hard.
The West is hard, but could you imagine him, Steph, Dre, together?
You like that better than Maxi, him, and Joel?
Well, the health, we talk about health.
Okay.
We talk about importance of availability.
Okay, so wait, now Agumake was there. Who was the other one? Was that, I don't know.
Monica McNutt?
Maybe. No, I don't think
Malika
it was.
Andrews?
I think it was Malika. Okay, so there's the conversation where Rivers, who, by the way, and if I'm just reading his face, he did not love CJ's answer. I think he thought he was going to say something else. I sort of felt like he was trying to get him to say, stay with the Clippers. If it's just about winning, where do you go? And CJ says, the Bay. The Bay. Put those guys all together. Now, look, it's a fair response to say, when the hell in the NBA do you win when your entire core is 35 years old? When does that happen? You're right. It's very, very rare. But I'm intrigued when people who are literally on playoff teams in the West are saying, hey, that mixture would be very, very difficult to deal with. It's an interesting comment.
Yeah, interesting, too, when they both said, oh, I thought you would have said Philadelphia. And then the comeback is, well, injury. I mean, the injuries, right? Joel Embiid. They talked about Joel and Tyrese and Paul versus Paul, Steph, and Draymond. No mention of Klay in all of this. So the assumption is that Klay Thompson is not a part of that Warrior team that Paul George would be joining. But it's interesting that they were quick to point out injury in Philadelphia. And yes, Joel Embiid's had injury issues, but you'd have Paul George at 35 joining a 37-year-old Steph and a 35-year-old Draymond who's had injury and availability issues of his own, yet he was quick to say Golden State. That, to me, was an interesting part
of it
as well.
It's interesting, and look, I get it. There's no question, I guess, I can't question this. The idea of, and I know, is Doc Pandya today? Is Pandya coming on here in 20 minutes? We could actually ask him about this. What is the likelihood rise of injury when your core is in their 30s as opposed to their 20s? I think all of us would agree it's likelier. I don't know how much it goes up. I also know that if you're running a sports team, I don't know if in the offseason you can factor injury into what you're doing. I don't even know how you do that. You can say, hey, I don't want the whole team to be in their 30s, but if you're the Warriors, you're going to have a good, healthy number of core pieces well into their 30s. That's just reality. So does that mean you need to plan for injury? You need to act like it's already happened? I don't think you can do that. And sometimes your 23-year-old rookie quarterback has his arm fall off in the middle of a big game. So, anyone can get hurt. Yes, the likelihood, I imagine, goes up. I just don't know if you can construct your team based on fear of injury.
You can't, and I think you have to look at what you have as a roster anyway, and you're going to have to double down on age anyway, because what we've seen from this Warrior team is that they lean toward veterans. Whether or not Steve Kerr hates the young people or not, that's not a debate for me. I don't think that he doesn't want to play young players, but I do think when it comes down to it, they want to lean on veterans. And if you look at next year's team, you're going to have Steph. He's going to turn 37, and you've got Draymond Green, who's going to turn 35, and GP2 is in his 30s and all the rest of it. And Andrew Wiggins is going to be coming up on being 30. He'll be 30 in February. So all your guys that you have, and I'm not even counting Klay Thompson in because I think that he'll be gone. Kevon Looney is going to be 29 in February, and that's an old 29.
Yes, it is.
He's a guy who's been hurt. So no matter what you have with the Golden State Warriors, you're an older team, and you've got guys who've had a number of injuries throughout their career. So no, you can't plan on it, but when you have a core of guys in their mid-30s, you do need to expect you're going to have some injuries.
Let's also play with this. We started the show today talking about the future. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can certainly weigh in on this. I take issue today with how many people I'm hearing worry about the future. You can't give up on the future. And I'd argue that, you know, this is different if we're talking about the future being like tomorrow or, you know, July 1st. These things are in the future. But the future that people are worried about seems to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I'd argue whatever you think you know about 2 or 3 years from now, you don't. I don't know what the percentage chance is that what you're worried about happening actually happens, or what you think definitely is going to happen does or doesn't happen. It feels like a very low percentage of things that you consider today. And I go, I'm pretty sure that in 2027, X is going to still be true. I got no idea. So when those of you who are worried about the Warriors mortgaging or messing up their future, when you say that, what is it you're actually scared of? And what is it you think you know is part of their future if they were to go status quo? So we can take calls on that, 888-957-9570. But I think relevant to the conversation is some of the stuff that Mike Dunleavy had to say yesterday in front of a microphone, especially with regard to his younger players. So here's one. He was asked if a trade is the best way to improve the Warriors right now. Listen to where the answer goes.
I'm of the belief internal development is. I'm a big player development guy. I think our younger players have a really big chance to grow and get better. Pods, JK, Trace, Moses, and then even our guys we've had here for a while can get better. I think that's got to be the main thing. And then from there, you look to see what else is out there and can you make a move or a couple moves or do some stuff that enhances your team. But if that's what's like the one thing we're hinging everything on, like it's so hard to make a trade now in the NBA. I think we got a lot of teams that are really smart. They know what they're doing. To make a good quality trade that benefits both sides, which is what everybody's looking for, is tough. And so we'll explore that stuff. A lot of conversations going on, but I don't want to like get ahead of it and just say like there's just going to be some big move that we're going to do and all that. Could be if it was there, great, but it's not like something that must happen.
Okay, so trades are hard. We love our young guys.
Right.
We expect to develop internally our young players.
Monty Poole yesterday with a funny answer on our show about debunking the idea of trades being hard, and he rattled off about 7 or 8 trades that have been made that make it seem like trades aren't that hard.
Well, they may be hard, but they're coming. They're going to happen.
Right.
There's going to be a bunch of them in the next 3 weeks.
Between Monday and the following Monday when we have our summit, how many trades do you think will be made around the association?
Double digits.
I was going to put the over-under at 8.5.
I'll take
you're
the
going over on 8.5.
Yeah,
and I think you're right because trades aren't as hard as you think, especially when you've been working on them throughout the month of June. And I bet the Warriors have, and I bet the other 29 teams have as well.
Tim Kawakami grabs some of the answers that are coming from Mike Dunleavy here, and he pushes him a little bit with regard to something we've referenced many times, which is that shortly before Jordan Poole was traded last year, Mike Dunleavy was like, Jordan Poole is under contract, and I expect him here for at least 4 more years. So first off, listen to that answer. This is last year when Mike Dunleavy is asked about Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga.
We love having those guys here. Jordan, especially with his contract extension, plan to have him here for 4 more years at least. And then Jonathan's, you know what? He's shown really good progression and growth, I think, in this first couple of years. Unfortunately for him, I think the playing time hasn't been there. And so that's on all of our shoulders to figure out how do we get him in the game more. And that's on Jonathan's shoulders to improve and make the right adjustments to his game, as well as our front office, our coaching staff, figuring out what works. So both those guys, really, really good young players, we're pleased with. They have great value around the league. Obviously, a lot of rumors and stuff come up at this time of the year, but we're happy with those guys.
Yeah, just rumors. That's, you know, it's crazy talking,
yeah,
people.
All those rumors.
I think it was 3 days later he got traded. So
yeah, July 7th. The contract was signed October 15th, and on July 7th, so 9 months later, Jordan Poole was a Wizard.
Right, but that comment right there was literally 3 or 4 days prior to the trade. So Kawakami brings that up in yesterday's conversation and referenced what he had said about Jordan Poole and then traded him. And is there any correlation there? Well, with what he's saying now.
A year ago, granted, all things changed. You did say that you weren't going to, you know, Jordan Poole was going to be on the team about 4 days before you traded him. Is this different than that?
To be clear, I said I expected Jordan to be back on the team next year, and I did at that point. But this thing changes so quickly, especially when there's a deadline in place, whether it's a trade deadline, a draft, free agency, things change like that. So I reserve the right to go back on, or not, I wouldn't say go back, because I said I didn't expect him to be back, and I would stick by that. And I said I expect him to be back, like I do all the guys we have in our contract. I really do. Like, there's nothing going on right now where I'm like, man, this may not happen or whatever. So things can always change. Draft goes on, picks become available, something changes. But on the whole, I feel pretty comfortable with the group that we got.
I do want to add to this discussion.
Do you want to add or do you want to subtract?
Well,
when I meant subtract, I meant add, and I kind of meant multiply.
Right.
It's a tough one for Mike Dunleavy there.
Yeah, he misspoke.
Whatever, it was a little bit of a Luciano.
I guess. I mean, the idea that means that he is saying one thing but thinking another.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
I don't necessarily think that. I think he just misspoke. The word came out as don't, and he meant do. Okay, that
happens.
And then
happens. He caught it, and he had to circle back, and then he circled back, and then he missed it up again, and then he circled back again, and he got it right.
Well, but let me offer this.
Hang in there.
What the hell is he supposed to say? Like, I try to do this as an interviewer. I do try to do this. What are the options with regard to an answer when I ask a question? What are the options on the table for Mike Dunleavy?
There's tell the truth.
Well,
we signed Jordan Poole knowing that we probably wanted to trade him, and by signing him to that contract, it made it easier to trade him because we could get something back for him.
Great. Not an option. Not if you want to keep your job. Not if you want to do it well. Not if you want to not tick off your own employees. Not an option. I mean, honestly, what a funny word to use, honestly. How on earth is Mike, and I'd argue this, and I'm not taking a shot at any reporters, all the pertinent questions were asked yesterday, but I thought 30% of the answers, and the guys will back me up on this because I started saying the answer before he would answer it into their ear sometimes, 30% of the questions, Dunleavy's got no options. Hey, what does Clay want? What do you want me to say? I can't answer that.
Well, Clay wants 3 years and 75, and we're not in
and
a position right now.
We don't want to give it to him.
Yeah, we have bigger fish to fry.
This sounds like an SNL skit. The idea of one of these GMs hopping up in front of a microphone and just being brutally like Jim Carrey, liar, liar.
Totally.
The world explodes if you don't tell the truth. You'd get fired before the presser even ended.
Well, then my question to you would be, why do we even do this? Why do we even play this game?
Because
the reporters, and they all did a great job yesterday, they have to ask the hard questions.
Yes.
I'm going to have to hold your feet to the fire. Mike Dunleavy, Tim Kawakami from The Athletic, and you boom, 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 all these questions, and you know that he's not going to answer it, and so you're basically making him dance around it. And we're either going to try to get him caught up, or we're going to get him in a gotcha moment so we can play it back like we did with Jordan Poole.
No,
so,
but that makes
but
it
Mike,
sound
you,
like
you this. Said you said last year,
no,
and then 3 days later you traded him.
These aren't gotcha reporters. No one's
trying
to pin him.
But what's the point of even doing this when you know that Mike Dunleavy's not going to give you any real answer?
I would argue that he did give some real answers, but at the same time, you have to ask those questions so that you can hear what Mike is going to not say, so you can gather something from that. I do think he did give some things on Clay. Like, he did. He didn't give what Clay is asking for. He didn't tell you. He didn't answer whether there was an offer on the table. But he was honest in saying, look, we've got some priorities that we've got to figure out. And we're not there yet. We're not in a position to just be all about Clay. And so that's difficult, and you can't remove the emotion from it, but I've also got a job to do, and I try to be fair. Like, that was an answer, but a lot of these things that came up yesterday, and yes, they've got to come up, but how's he supposed to answer it differently than he did last year? Hey, Mike, are you willing to trade Kuminga? Do you think that's potentially about to happen? How would it benefit the Warriors in any way for Mike to answer that 100% honestly?
Then what are we even doing? Because honestly, he can't answer that honestly. And because the honest answer is, yeah, if we get an offer that we love, that helps our team right now, you're damn right we're going to trade Jonathan Kuminga. And you know what? We might sign Kuminga in October to a deal like we gave Jordan Poole. And guess what? That doesn't guarantee that he's not getting traded next offseason.
Understood.
Like we did to Jordan Poole.
But
what are we even doing here?
We're basically reading between the lines. Because sometimes while a team will never sell a guy out down the road and tell private secrets, sometimes they will guarantee something in the other direction. In other words, it wouldn't have shocked me if Mike came out yesterday and was like, I do not see a scenario where we trade Jonathan Kuminga. That was possible.
Yeah, but not likely.
But he didn't do it. But that happens. John Lynch did that with Debo Samuel.
Debo was shopped at the deadline.
No, that was this year. I'm talking about 2 years ago.
Right.
2 years ago when Debo requested a trade and scrubbed Instagram, the Niners were like, no. No. No, we want Debo on the team. And that's what we're going to do. And so sometimes you're gathering that kind of information, not like, yes, we're open to trading him, but you might get the opposite answer of, no, we're not. We're not trading that player. Mike played yesterday in a way where nothing got removed from the table. And I think that's the takeaway. That's why you do it. You're asking why you do it. That's why.
Right, so that's we can all read between the lines and figure out what wasn't said.
I mean, that's what we do.
Exactly.
That's what press conferences are. You don't think they're out there telling you all the trade secrets.
But to me, it seems to be a large waste of time because you have to kind of pick through and figure out what he didn't say as opposed to what he did say. And ultimately, now we're trying to catch him in, you know, whatever answer he gave that maybe he didn't mean to give and all the rest of it. It just, to me, it becomes an exercise in foolishness. As opposed to just, you know, wait and see what they actually do.
Not every press conference is a home run.
Yeah.
But you have them, and you never know what's going to come out. Sometimes somebody will go, playoffs, and it'll be like the most famous thing that's ever happened. Who knows? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your calls, absolutely welcome, 888-957-9570. We'll circle back to some of the things that Monty Poole told us yesterday that we think you absolutely need to hear. If you're worried about the future, what is it? What is it you think is already on the table for the Warriors' future right now? We'll take your calls. Nick Ahmed in a half hour, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.